Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, everybody, Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden on this very news impactful day. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. The show is brought to you as always by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. We will get So Steve Bannon went to prison today. It looks like Donald Trump will not be going to prison, at least on the insurrection things. A lot of rulings from the Supreme Court. We'll get on to that. And there was something else. And Joe Biden, of course, we have to talk about
Victor
Joe Biden.
Tucker Carlson in Australia, letting the media have it.
That's
it was
right.
Just great stuff.
Start off with something local. And once again, we're pleased to have with us Tim Leonard. I just call him a grassroots activist from Jefferson County. He's a member of the state Republican Party Central Committee. And while you were sleeping, after the primary was over, without pause, the hypocritical rhinos, unity. Rhinos wasted like 30 seconds before filing a motion, traitor Todd Watkins, he used to be a patriot. I don't know what, if he's taken magic mushrooms or something, but traitor Todd Watkins filed a motion to oust the Colorado Republican Party chair, grassroots hero, Dave Williams. And of course, he wants a secret vote. So Tim Leonard, you sent out a great email, I think, over the weekend. But just thank you for joining the show.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about what the email said?
Yeah, and what you think of this whole thing.
You bet. Well, this is a controversy that started because Dave Williams is acting like our first GOP state chair that we've had in a long time. He has really taken the fight to the Democrats, whether it's opt-out or now all this pride child grooming issue that he has brought front and center. He takes it to the Democrats. But instead, we've got Republicans that start defending and start taking the ball away. And like everybody says, we've got this circular firing squad. So taking a lot
at a perfect time, between the primaries and the general election, which is the time you want to do this, because that maximizes
not like anybody's busy.
Yeah, well, maximize the chance of losing, which is really what all they're about.
That's it, because I think it's one of those they'd rather rule over the ashes, rather than not rule at all. So. All this energy has been spent on gathering a petition. The last time we talked, it was about Jefferson County and the chair being able to drive this really through false pretenses, as if Jefferson County, all the Republicans and especially all the leaders were in back of this. And that now has come out now that the list has been submitted. Not true at all. Two out of 25. She was censored.
I was going to say she was censured for pretending that everybody wanted to oust Dave Williams. In Adams County, we had a similar thing, right? There was an overwhelming vote in support. And despite of what you see in the media, where they say 10 county chairs, leaving out, of course, that 54 support Dave Williams, people like Todd Watkins, I'm saying it's just delusions of grandeur, I guess. I'm not sure what their problem is.
Well, it's
he wants to be chair,
think. But it's not him. I mean, let's face it. He is just now doing the bidding of the peak Republicans and others. He can join the cool clubs, the rich guys club, and as a traitor, maybe he gets some special dispensation. But it's sad. It's pathetic. We're going to lead. I'm going to help lead a effort to make sure that it isn't secret. They don't get to get there. We have a roll call vote, and we see where people really stand. And none of this will hide everything sort of stuff that Todd Watkins and the establishment want. But it's if you had any questions about they could care less about winning and more about their being ahead of things, you got no better example.
You're exactly right. And so what happened is, just like you said, Julie, we had the primaries on Tuesday, and right away on Wednesday, a list is submitted, a list of names is submitted to the state party. I was able to see that list, and by Saturday, Senator Ted Harvey and I put out basically a legal challenge to that. That's within the rights to say, wait a second, we've got this list, but it is shabby. All it is it lists the first name, their last name, and their county. Doesn't even have numbers on it, so you have to count it. There's a person, at least one, that's double counted on it. And so we said, hey, there's no signatures here. There's no email backups on any of it. There's no addresses. There's no dates of when it was collected. There's no title on it. So you don't even know what this list is made up of. There's no certification or an affidavit because, of course, there's no chain of custody, because as the collector of it is the chair of Jefferson County, came out and said, well, you know, it was collected on my private server and private emails. And so then handed off, because Jefferson County not only censored her, but said, all your activity that you did was completely unauthorized. You didn't do this under the cover or with the blessing or the approval of the Jefferson County Executive Committee. So therefore, it's all null and void. Everything is taken back. We don't claim it at all. And so she handed that off to Mr. Watkins, because we never got another petition or another request. So the same list was handed off. So, of course, when Dave Williams called up Mr. Watkins and said, hey, you got to give us some backup here, you know, print out your 112 emails or whatever it is, to show us that the people actually came in, he refused to do that. So
Todd said no. Well, I mean, okay. Let me just so folks understand. So number one, again, I want to talk to you about the legal challenge. What we're talking about here is literally a little bit more than a handful, but not many people who are causing problems. They want to be in power themselves. They hate Dave Williams because he's actually doing something as a GOP chair. And so now they've handed over this petition. I mean, and when you read it in the news, in the media, it made it sound like, oh, well, it's this official petition with all these signed affidavits and blah, blah, blah. So you're saying essentially it is entirely possible that Todd Watkins just took Nancy Pelosi's fake list and added some more fake names of his own and then sent it to David and said, you must step down. That's possible.
Even if it's not fake, it was done under false pretenses. She gathered those signatures claiming to be on behalf of the Jefferson County GOP. It wasn't. And therefore, they'd have to start the process again. She couldn't just hand off the list to somebody else and say, oh, that makes it okay.
That's exactly right. And so when we came out and wrote a letter to Jefferson County and said, I said, we're going to do a challenge. So we have a legal form to do that so that we can have a hearing and they can have a response back. And it could be a very due process for everyone to have their say. So it came out on Saturday that we sent it to just Jefferson County, the executive a committee, and also the central committee, which is about 42 or so people total. And what do I get? I get an email back instantly from one of the supposed Jefferson County signers that said, hey, when I signed this, you know, it was on my phone. I didn't really get to read it. I called up Nancy Pelosi and wanted my name removed from it. She told me it would get removed, and it's not removed. And then I've learned another one. There was only four signatures from Jefferson County, but two of those had asked to get their names removed, only leaving two on, Nancy Pelosi and one other person. So that immediately should tell everyone that this false pretense surely was false, that there was nobody but for two out of 25 that had actually signed it. And so then after that, I think it was on Sunday. No, I think it was later on Saturday. We sent it out to all 406 just as full transparency, letting them know that there was an official challenge to the integrity, the certification, the verification of this list.
Right.
And so that's what we did. And I've gotten plenty of responses back from folks saying, right on, we need to put this thing to bed. We need to stop these shenanigans and all this time and effort that's spent in a Dave derangement syndrome and just move on with uniting our candidates.
Right. Well, it is. Okay. So, yeah. So in Jefferson County,
you also got a email from the former chair of the Republican Party.
A snarky tweet from KBB, right? Yeah.
No, I didn't see that. I don't. I didn't see
it. Oh, read it to him. No, read it to him.
Some kind of thing about, people who have jail issues should be just minding their own business or something like that. So I pointed out in a tweet back, just so you know, I said, speaking of jail issues, Christy Burton Brown, the Central Committee is still considering filing a criminal complaint against you for for your financial fraud, alleged fraud, abuse, and scandal under your leadership. Maybe you should worry about your own, financial. But why is she even as a candidate weighing in? That just shows exactly where they're coming from, right? She's just the former chair. And I think that's why she wants to get rid of Dave. She's worried about what will be continued to be turned up about her. But that's just me.
Well, it's amazing. Some of the signers in this 110 or 11 or 12, no one knows, are really the same people that were against opting out. And that was one of Dave's first push, is to close our primaries. And we didn't have the votes to do it. Remember, we couldn't change it from all the people that didn't show up were automatic no votes. And you remember, you guys were both very much, in a part of that. And so these signers are just the same people that didn't like what Dave did then. They don't like what Dave is doing now with these godless groomers and this fixation on being able to take the innocence away from children. Same way with abortion. Dave always takes the fight right to them and says, hey, you guys are the radical guys. We don't have to defend life. You guys have to defend why you want to take life at every turn of the screw. So all this stuff is really focused at a chairman who's doing his job, but they're not either well-formed in their conscience to be able to understand how to defend it, or they're just too weak to do it. And we're watching our culture slide and slide. And even good people that say, hey, I agree with Dave, I just don't think he's doing it the right way. Well, what is the right way? Because whatever doing today, hasn't been working.
And I go back to, as you point out, these are people who, and the reason they don't want the open, or they want the open primary, is because they can't get elected with just Republicans. These are rhinos. These are uniparty establishment people. They have money behind them. They have, it's all the usual suspects. And I find it interesting. Now, granted, it's only four, but 50% of the people from Jefferson County whose name was on this so-called petition to oust Dave said, I didn't sign it. So you got to wonder about the other people too, right? So what's the status go ahead.
Sorry, just to clarify, they did sign it, but they wanted their names removed.
Okay.
So maybe they signed it quickly, but they wanted it removed. And they didn't get removed at the time that the list came in, went from Nancy to Todd and back into the party. They didn't get removed, and neither did a double counted name get removed. So
how many signatures do they need to get to 25%?
I don't know the exact, it's 25%, but I don't know the total number. I don't know if it's 406. I've seen 440. I've seen 412.
Oh, what the total number is, yeah.
Well, I mean, 113 is pretty close to, not being 25% if some signatures are taken off.
Well, and so what's the status then? So you say you guys filed a challenge saying, hey, look, we want some kind of verification. Before we go through all of this hullabaloo, completely rile up everything in the Republican Party, we want some kind of, and again, given the tactics and the lies and the manipulations and the fake news that these people have put out all along, that's a pretty reasonable request, I think, to say, we want to see some verification that the people whose names are on here actually signed it, actually want their names on it now. So what's the status of that? You said Todd refused, basically? Todd said...
Well, that was just the conversation that Dave had with him to be able to say, I've got your list, give me some backup.
Okay.
And of course, the right way would have been to just print 112 emails and say, here's all the emails. the party doesn't need, you know, like a Secretary of State would need, you know, petition forms that have a title on top, an affidavit on the bottom, signatures that could be verified, petition collectors that say, I witnessed this signature. Right. You know, it doesn't have to be that perfect. All it has to be is enough to say that, yes, I signed it and I want this. And it could have been done. Nancy, the next day after this list was null and void, she or Todd Watkins or anybody else could have gone out and say, I'll do it myself. Right. I'll go write all these people. They had the emails of if right. it was 113 people could have said, send me an email
right.
and then hit print. And in 24 right. hours later, we would have had verification. You know, the state party would have had verification and said, yeah, these are
right.
these are all legit and everything's good. And let's call a meeting. So why we're wasting our time in this is beyond me. But I don't consider that the list that was submitted is valid. And
right.
one, we listed in our complaint, one, because it was rendered null and void. Nancy Pelosi's was rendered null and void by the party.
Right.
And two, there are none of these, verifications like signatures or anything else that are in it. So those are very easy to remedy. Go
right.
out the next day. If you already have 25%, you don't even have to ask the rest of the people.
Here's what I think they want to do, though. They want to launch again a PR campaign. I mean, the Denver Gazette has had for weeks now this little poll on should Dave Williams step down. I mean, right? That's old news. I mean, this, you know, that's up there forever. And I think they want to try to launch a media campaign to make Dave look bad yet again, and to cause problems. And
for what purpose?
It's like, okay, so we did not get some of our candidates, right? But you don't see Chuck and I, you know, or other grassroots people. We're not trying to, like, you know, make Gabe Evans winning the primary null and void or challenging that. It's like, okay, we lost, right? Our candidate did
not win. We lost against millions, but we lost.
But we lost, and now we move on, right? And
well, they never move on.
No, it's ridiculous that it right now, I mean, I could see maybe if you hate Dave Williams after November, right, then maybe say,
well, then it's almost time to
get a note. But I mean, then go ahead and say, but in the meantime, the fact that these are so-called party activists, party people who love the Republican Party, are spending their time and effort
not supporting their candidates,
spending money not supporting their candidates, sending emails not supporting their candidates, but trying to destroy the party from within is it's disgraceful. I mean, that's a kind word, I think.
Well, right, because they're the same people that say, hey, Dave, you need to just be unifying. And
yeah.
So here's this party. Here are these folks that spread this. We got to unify. And of course, they're going to take up the time, obviously, before the primary, the started. Then they're going to take up time after the primary, before the general election, putting their energy on this. When only 3 months after the general election is another election for a new chair. And so that makes no sense. And it makes no sense. The big issue, I think, Julie and Chuck, is that there's no substitute here. There isn't somebody coming forward. And God bless it if it's Mr. Watkins or anyone else wants to step forward and says, I think Dave's doing a good job. We need to throw him out and elect me because here's my game plan. Here's what I'm going to do. This is what. But instead, it's throw out everybody. Now, today, the chair of the Los Animas came out and sent a letter to all 406 that basically said, hey, I don't just want Dave out. The Central Committee, we want to throw out the vice chair and the secretary. We want them all out. Again, no substitutions, no game plan, no anything. And I look on the list and I think there's two signatures from
yeah.
Los Animas that are on there. Yet again, representing we here in Los Animas, we can't stand the leadership that we have, and we want to take this up again. Because I encourage all the 406 to say, listen, we'll have this challenge. If it gets thrown out, I'd like to see it, as Ted Harvey would, just done. Let's move on to something else that's more productive. Or if you want, we're free people, go out there, go get a candidate that's better than Dave. launch a campaign and say, hey, let's have a meeting and let's make sure that we replace leadership that we don't like with leadership that we think is great. And well, they're not going to do that.
No. And I mean, the whole thing, that's just point out, Todd Watkins ran for what, vice chair at the state assembly, right? I mean, he lost massively,
right?
I mean, he didn't even make it to the second round, right? Yeah. So it's not like there's this overwhelming support out there for, you know, and again, so we've had discussions with some people that I don't want to call them former friends, really, but you know, Pat Cage, right? Who wanted to try to oust Dave Williams and saying, who do you think we're going to replace him with, right? It's going to be some rhino.
Well, they wanted to throw him out because he wanted to use some very Andaluvian counting system so we weren't there all the time. And you could disagree with that and say we should sit there all the time. But to kind of have a new campaign to replace a chair just shows you, you know, at what point do these people ever want to have a viable Republican
Party. They don't. They just want. And just from here, this is a question from Charlene. By the way, everybody loves you, Tim. Why not make a motion to remove Todd Watkins as vice chair of El Paso because he's attempting to divide and weaken the party? That's a really good point, Charlene. I don't know what they're doing about this in El Paso. I know Vicky Tompkins is the chair. I imagine she's somewhat dismayed about all of this, but I don't know how.
She's used to it.
Yeah. I don't know what the politics are in El Paso County.
I
would think he would lose, right? Yeah. I think he would lose.
Here's the thing. And I know when people asked me, well, don't you think that Nancy Pelosi needs to get removed from the chair of Jefferson County after she did this misrepresentation? She used party resources. She went on and to shows, radio shows and press, right, and did all this, quote unquote, behind the back of the executive. My response was no. It's not just because we're yelling at her of saying, hey, don't call for the chair of removal of the chair of the state party because you don't like what he has in the middle of this political battle that we're in with the Democrats. We right. have to follow the same rules. So I would say El Paso, Los Animas, don't bother with all this. Just put it away. Pick your grievances up after November, put a plan together to have a new chair when March right. comes, if that's what you want, and do good battle with the rest of us that think that Dave has done a fabulous job as a chair. This is exactly what the chair should be doing, taking right. the battle right to them and being on the offense. And that's what we need to do.
I wonder, too, if there's even bigger stuff afoot here. And I know maybe I'm just a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, Justin Everett, who was in Colorado for the Trump campaign, said that they believe that Colorado is more in play than people think. So how better to undermine Trump than to under and whatever might be going on? I know the Colorado GOP put out an email today saying, hey, if you want to register to help with the Trump campaign and other campaigns, sign up here. I mean, what better way to defeat not just Dave Williams as a chair, but to defeat, you know, Donald Trump? And just I don't know. It just seems I got to wonder if there's if they really are maybe being manipulated by Democrats, because what better way to undermine the Colorado Republican Party and the momentum that we have going into November by trying to destroy the party and make it look bad, right? Because if you're just a person sitting out there and you're like, I don't know, I mean, I kind of want to help, but the Republican Party's a mess. And the reality is it's not a mess. It's like you said, the reality is it's stronger and more powerful and getting more done than ever before. But the media and this handful of people want to undermine it. And I'm any more suspicious about their actual motives.
Yeah, it's true. I don't want to pretend to know their intentions. But here's what I do know, that this was triggered when Dave took the battle during Pride Month and took the battle right to them. And all his pictures that he put in so that people could say, our culture is being changed and destroyed by these godless groomers. And then he showed, look at these pictures of the castration, mutilation, and the sexualization, the deviant behavior on full display with our children, and the drag queen hours that are taking place in schools and in libraries, and all the gender confusion that is getting thrust upon these small children. And parents are outraged. Everyone is outraged, but no one wants to take the battle. So right. as soon as he pushes back in order to stop the enormous momentum that this homosexual agenda has had, and it's had it for years, right? We did all the civil union stuff. We did all the same-sex marriage. We did all that special protected class that now hate is all of a sudden focused as a new word in the vocabulary. We have all the pride parades with all this public display of sexualization. We have all these drag shows and queen hours for all the children. We now have a full Pride Month with everybody jumping on pride flags and all the corporate pressing. We even had, I don't know if you saw, Senator Hickenlooper came out with jumping on the bandwagon. Oh, I've done everything. What did he say? He said, oh, look what I've done. I know my little giddy up newsletter. This community has done so much to contribute to our state and our culture. And we want to celebrate Pride Month this year. I decided to flex my knowledge of memorable Queen anthems to see how many I could guess. I marched in the Denver Pride parade, and I'll never stop fighting against hate in all its forms. Hate. This is all about pride. Pride of what?
These are people pride who hate children, is what it is. Yeah. No, it's then they do it. Well, and you're right. And that's what it said. And listen to, so let me just kind of let, because I know we have to let you go. What, so you guys filed sort of a challenge to the, where does that stand? I mean, or do you have any sense, you know, because this
it'll,
is
a, it'll go up to the executive committee and they'll have to set a date and everything else.
Okay.
Exactly. And we did get an email. So Senator Harvey and I got an email along with Todd Watkins and Nancy Pelosi that said Todd and Nancy have 7 days to file a response in a nice legal format. And they should do that. Tell us why we're wrong and why they're right. And then they'll set a date that the four of us get to present our case in front of the executive committee. And the executive committee can then make a decision, which hopefully will be to dismiss the petition.
Okay.
Well, then, if then I were them, I would spend my 7 days getting a new petition. I'd make all this
appeal that to the state central committee.
And again, let's go back to, and then if there are that, then they may have the actual vote on. I mean, all of this is taking up these rhinos, uniparty people, and traitor Todd Watkins taking up valuable time in the most crucial election cycle in our lifetime.
Well, the most beneficial. I mean, nothing could be better for Republicans this last week. Joe Biden showed he has dementia, showed that the mainstream media has been hiding this fact. And the Democratic Party is part of many things they've hid from the public. There's never been a better time with Donald Trump already ahead. For the Republican Party to succeed. And these unitary, uniparty rhinos want to make sure we don't succeed. At some point, you know, honestly, it'd be nice if the party could split off. So all the ones that want to be part of Pride Month, they can be Pride Republicans. And the rest of us can get on with whatever we want.
But getting candidates elected, right? So
that's exactly. The tailwinds for the Republican Party now are tremendous, right? All those Supreme Court issues that have come out and been decided, whether it's immunity for the president or the Chevron deference or this Fisher case that really helps out the January 6th folks, all this has been tremendous tailwinds for the Republicans. We have a lot to be able to run on and to push back on, with including all the stuff you said about that we got to witness on Joe Biden. So they're scrambling as Democrats. Republicans should be pressing forward in a very offensive manner and to be able to get these voters that say, wow, you guys really know what you're talking about. I like your principles. Let's focus on the principles and move forward. And right. these party politics need to be able to go away.
Exactly. Well, Tim, if you don't mind, please keep us posted, on developments, because they have 7 days. And thank you for pushing back. And like we said, Chuck is, we're working on a petition to make sure if there ever is a vote that it's not a secret vote. So keep up the good work, Tim. Yeah. We need more of you out there.
Yeah, we sure do. Sam, take care.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you, Julie.
All right. That's okay. So there's a ton of emails there from Dr. Donna. Since a camel is already in the tent, they will continue to ask for more and more. Okay. I can't believe rhinos are defending pride. Some comments about Hickenlooper. Personally, I think this thing going on with Dave is a mistake, but then who am I? Hey, you know, good job. Thank you, Tim. Everybody says, so to kind of wrap up. So what he said is they have filed an official challenge because in spite of how the media plays it up, this is just some sort of ragtag email that Todd Watkins cobbled together claiming.
No, Nancy Pelosi did.
And then she passed it
on. And then when everybody said, you can't do that, she just kind of shoved it over to Todd. He said, oh, yeah, it's my email. It wasn't his email.
And then Tim has on his own just sort of anecdotally talked to apparently several people who were like, you know, I don't want my name on that. No, right. I don't want that. So they now have 7 days to reply to that and try to get into the email. So here's the thing. Hopefully it all goes away in 7 days.
Well, it won't go over in 7 days. They'll dispute it. It'll be a controversy that has to be heard by the executive committee, which can appeal to the, it's not going away for the entire election.
No, and you know the media is going to continue to use it.
Well, who's the media? Just rhino,
right?
Billionaire crap.
Right. And they're going to use it. And they've already defeated Dave, and they defeated Janet Joshi, and they defeated Ron Hanks. But now they want to make sure.
With millions of dollars.
And they just want to make sure the grassroots are crushed. Well, I got news for them. We're not going anywhere.
Well, does that encourage the grassroots to be dying to vote for their candidates?
Right, exactly. Right.
Let me go out and get some flyers for Gabe Evans.
And from Sandra, we need to know who in the Republican Party want to oust Dave and why. Yeah, if we get our hands on, if this goes through, don't worry. We will publish, and I'm sure Rhino Watch will publish the names of the people who want him out. And then, as we said, Chuck is organizing a petition to make sure that if there is a vote, at least it's not a secret vote, right, which is what they want, and that'll be out there too. Moving on to good news, though.
Let's go to Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson.
No.
Yes. Tucker Carlson.
All right. Hey, Thomas, Chuck is making us play the video out of order. Okay. You introduce it.
All right. So Tucker Carlson went on a huge Australian tour of 5 or 6 cities at the invitation of Clive Palmer, who has his own United party there, a billionaire. And he arrived. And of course, everybody's going, how did he get a visa? You know? They don't believe in free speech in portions of Australia. And so he had to open up to questions from the media. And if you think the media is bad in the United States, in Australia, it's even worse, featuring the main papers and the ABC, which is Australian Broadcasting Corporation, which is like the BBC, but except for Australia. So he took questions and just crushed them. And then the final person to ask questions was Kate Wong from Australian Associated Press, and their left wing is American Associated Press. So here's some of the dialogue between this.
Oh, no, that's not what I have.
What do you have?
We just have Tucker Carlson talking about Joe Biden giving at the event.
You were supposed to get that days ago.
It's fine.
You said, yeah, I got it.
I have the gym.
Well, okay, next time we'll have Tucker Carlson with Kate Wong.
Communicate with the producer.
Well, yeah, we communicate with the producer as slight dementia already.
Here's an aside leading into this, because Thomas will play the Tucker Carlson first, because he does do a good job on Joe Biden. So Alex Berenson, who's a former New York Times reporter, today announced that he, as much as he hates it, he's going to be voting for President Trump. And he was sort of saying, there's all this debate going on right now about does Biden have Parkinson's? Does he have this? Does he have that? And he said, which makes sense, when they're debating which kind of dementia you have, then it's time to drop out of the race. But this is Tucker Carlson talking about the Joe Biden debate.
I watched CNN today and they had the presidential debate, the U.S. presidential debate. And maybe some of you saw it. And if you did, well, it was amazing. It was amazing on every level. But what was especially amazing was afterward they went to the panel of assembled Democratic operatives posing as journalists, and all of them were like shocked to discover that Joe Biden has dementia. Like, they couldn't believe it. What? Oh my gosh, he's non-compos mass. No way. Are you serious? And I'm thinking to myself, what year is it? 2024? ish. Middle-aged people identify with that. Okay, 2024, people are saying. It was 2019 that I heard from a friend of mine who was friends with his sister, Val, that the family was very upset because Joe has dementia and he's running for president. And, well, I said this on TV, by the way, at the time, and was denounced as a racist or something. I mean, everything in the United States, like, that's just like the all-purpose term for shut up. Racist! It's like, I think he's white. Shut up, racist! Okay. Anyway, his sister had told a friend of mine, like an actual friend of mine, one of my neighbors, that the family was upset and that his son sadly had passed away, by the way, not in Iraq fighting a war for freedom, but of cancer. I don't think he's aware of that. But sad. And that the family was convinced he needed to kind of get it out of his system by running for president. But of course, no one's going to like make Joe Biden the nominee because we had Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, hey, and Thomas, our wonderful producer, found the video that Chuck was talking about.
So thank you, Thomas.
So this
thank
is,
you.
This is, we're only going to play about a minute of it.
No, five minutes.
No.
Play everything. Be quiet, Julie. You'll enjoy this. You'll
I know,
enjoy
but
this.
We got to talk about this.
No, we don't have to talk about it. Let's go.
Thomas, go. If you can, this is Tucker Carlson being interviewed by a reporter down there, Kate Wan. So did I give you enough time to pull it up? Here we go.
We just met, but when our relationship starts with a lie, it makes it tough to be friends. So
well,
let's,
I mean, you've been lying about it.
How do they get
time
people this stupid in the media? I guess it doesn't pay well. How dare you try to tie me to some lunatic who murdered people? How dare you, actually? And in fact, I mean, do you know what I mean?
It says conservatives are celebrating a viral confrontation between Tucker Carlson and journalist Kat Wan.
I'm sorry you couldn't.
All right, but that's enough of it. Yeah, but
I'm sorry you couldn't list the whole thing because the producer made a mental error. But it was hilarious. So go on YouTube and
Thomas,
watch.
That was quick.
In fact, watch the whole 10 minutes of this.
He said at 7:31. That was quick work by Thomas.
That was good.
The breaking news.
All right,
This is good news. The Supreme Court, I'm sure you guys have heard, handed down their ruling on presidential immunity today, basically saying that presidents have broad immunity when they're doing their official duties. Obviously, they don't when they're not doing their official duties, but indicating that, I mean, basically, this kills Jack Smith's case against Donald Trump.
No, it doesn't totally kill. What they said is the president has absolute immunity for core constitutional actions, and who knows what that means. I guess
he did, though.
And then they said he has presumed immunity for any official act.
Well, but what's good news is, and which is bad for, so as you know, Jack Smith is trying to prosecute him on the documents thing. Jack Smith is trying to prosecute him for like trying to subvert the government. But they did go out of their way to specifically mention things like talking to the attorney general about
the
election, talking to the vice president, giving a speech. Some of the things that Jack Smith was talking about could not be used as evidence because
not only couldn't you charge him, he couldn't use as evidence for ones that may be permissible.
Right. And so Jonathan Turley was on Fox News today, and he's like, yeah, I think he was saying that Jack Smith is literally, he said Jack Smith is having a heart attack right now. Thomas, if we could please play the Turley soundbite.
This is a major victory for the former President Trump. The language here is highly favorable to him. They even go into his January 6th speech and say that presidents are expected to speak passionately and publicly about issues of importance. This was an issue of great importance. And goes on to say that when the president speaks to the vice president, this is part of the president's official conduct.
So I think that kind of, I mean, obviously it's going to go back to the lower court, right? And the lower court will probably say, oh, I think this is all evidence. What it does do, even MSNBC acknowledges, is this makes it virtually impossible, not even virtually, but impossible for anything to happen.
Make it impossible, but it certainly makes it unlikely.
That it'll happen before the election, right? And not only that, but even if Trump doesn't win, this is still out there. I think the other thing that's interesting is you got to wonder how it weighs in then on the documents. I know Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch was arguing, well, Trump was president, and as part of his official act, he was removing documents. Right. So he should, maybe he has immunity there. And then Clarence Thomas, pretty interestingly, tossed in just an aside saying he has some pretty significant questions about how Jack Smith, who was the special counsel, but was just a private citizen at the time, right, how the Department of Justice could just willy-nilly create this new office without any congressional approval and appoint a private citizen to prosecute the president. Now, that's got to be, because Judge Cannon in Florida is asking that very same question, right?
Well, the Trump organization, the Trump legal team has asked
right.
Judge Cannon to look at that, and she has taken arguments in about that issue.
And I think we know where Clarence Thomas stands on it then, right?
We got one vote at the Supreme Court anyway.
That's right. So the whole thing, is, and we'll get on to Steve Bannon here in a second, but the whole thing, I think, is, you know, and what do you think? I mean, on the one hand, I think the lawfare, and they're not going to stop. They've got too much here. The lawfare has, I think, though, boomeranged. I think not only did it make Trump more popular, not only does he keep fundraising off of it, it hasn't worked. Now, granted, he gets sentenced here on some of the ridiculous cases, but but I mean, he's turned all of those into campaign appearances, the New York, you know.
And he should. I mean, it's they've clearly decided to just war on Donald Trump, and these sad, pathetic Republicans will do nothing about it, and by and large, they haven't. And that they get to do it willy-nilly, and then any effort to jail any Democratic, oh, no, we can't do that, which is really ridiculous. I mean, you got to fight fire with fire.
Well, some are. I mean, there's some are.
A few.
It's few and far between. Hey, and let me real quick, back on the Australian thing. Hey, Thomas, let me ask a favor. If you could send me a link to that, and I'll pull it for Chuck, and we'll use it Wednesday. How's that? We'll pull the heated exchange. We'll pull Chuck's sound by Wednesday. Thank you, everybody. But I think, though, will the Supreme Court, I mean, the left is melting down over this, right? The left is saying, well, now everybody could assassinate, they could send SEAL teams in and assassinate people.
Well, there's no question that some unscrupulous president could use that
right.
as a basis for doing illegal acts, which is why no president has ever been prosecuted in the last 100 ever
right.
before Donald Trump. Now you have to make it a rule because the Democrats want to imprison their political opponents. They're happy with that. And what's always amazing is to watch these talking heads on like NBC, ABC saying, well, Trump gets in, he might weaponize the Justice Department and go after his political opponents. As if that's not happening. As if, you know, it's in a void.
It's like, I mean, in a way, this should make Joe Biden happy, right? Because this makes it impossible to prosecute him for the border stuff.
Well, but he's these two non-compos men.
Prosecutor
Heard to charge him for anything.
Well, and from what we saw in the debate, there's a significant amount of truth to that, right?
Yeah, you know? There is.
And we'll see. It is, though, we were talking this morning, it is good when, like, literally the Biden campaign is now faced with, I mean, talk about bad momentum. You know, which kind of dementia does no one is even debating anymore. Does he have dementia? It's just which kind of dementia does he have?
Right.
It's got to be depressing to be the campaign secretary. Has Joe resigning today? That's all the talk is going to be about for a while. If I'm Donald Trump, I put off any announcement, yeah. at least for a little while, about anything.
No, don't interfere with this.
Right.
Just let this interfere. Democrats.
And I don't know what's going to happen. You get the impression that Joe Biden is not going to.
And the next polls will come out and it won't make that much of a difference. Trump will still be ahead, but it'll only have changed one percentage point. But the damage is irrevocable.
Right.
The damage is irrevocable. And for the next 2 months and 10 days until September 10th, and even September 10th, he has a good day, you know, it's too late.
Next debate. Well, and people will just be, well, that's a good day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty skeptical that there'll be another debate. You seem to think he's got nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
You know, the other thing is, it was interesting. I was talking with my daughter about this, who watched it, right? And I think CNN had like 8 bazillion, like 30 million people. They had like the biggest show ever, even though it was linked to other networks and things like that. But so she watched part of it. And here's why I would be worried if I was a Democrat. My daughter would not ever vote for Donald Trump, I don't think, anyway. But she watched Joe Biden. She's not a particularly Joe Biden fan, but now she watches and she goes, I wouldn't vote for either one of them. And if I'm a Democrat, I think what you have is a very fired up Republican base,
right?
And if you're a Democrat, you now have a completely demoralized base, and let alone all these young people. I mean, she's that young people vote that they're trying to get, who are like, I'm just not going to vote, the whole thing. I mean, if you're a Democrat.
If you're a Democrat and you hate Trump, maybe you'll go for RFK or somebody else. But you also may go, hey, I missed that day.
Right, that's right. Jill could be locked up for elder abuse. That's a Dr. Brian Jundeb had a column there. The other thing, though, speaking of, I mean, while we celebrate that, talking about the two-tier justice system, Hunter Biden doesn't honor congressional subpoenas. Merrick Garland ignores them. Nothing happens to them, right? But Steve Bannon, who ignored essentially a congressional subpoena, started his first day of 4 months in federal prison for being convicted on that. But that is backfiring too. We're going to play, here's a little clip from somebody put together about Bannon on him going to jail with Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, this is going to backfire just like all the rest of the lawfare stuff is backfired. If we could please play the Bannon soundbite.
So this is where Bannon's combination of traits, this is where it has led him and us. 4 months is not a long time. Moreover, his insidious influence, that cannot be locked up.
Well, let me address the left for a minute, the nasty media that's watching this right now. Let me address all the Democrats. For your information, just because Steve Bannon is going to prison for 4 months does not mean you're going to silence him. It does not mean you're going to shut down the war room posse. And you don't have any control or power over any of this group. What you just did is you multiplied it by 10,000.
This is not a concert. This is not a rap artist. This is not a country artist. No. Rock show. Look at the crowd here. I gotta tell you, any Democratic contender, even the DNC, has to be looking at this video and thinking, oh boy. Oh boy.
This whole movement is going to grow, and you're responsible for it. So if you hate all of us, you hate Steve Bannon, you hate the people and look down on the people that watch the war room, and you think that they're beneath you because you think you're better than them, and you think your horrible, stupid networks are better than them. Let me tell you something. What you did is you just put the message out there all across America that you are part of the problem. You're part of the two-tier justice system. You are the dictatorship. You're the authoritarian regime that the American people want to tear down and completely rid our country of. They hate you. And putting Steve Bannon in jail is going to make more of them hate you.
Which is true, right? Yes. And Steve Bannon's like, I'm not shutting up. And there was all the coverage of him.
Well, they also, let's see, they jailed Peter Navarro. He's right? In prison right now. They wanted to put Flynn in prison. And it's just, when the Republic gets in, are they supposed to go, oh, well, you know, that was.
Well, that, and we'll see what they do time. With Don. What July 11th is Donald Trump sentencing I forget which of the cases that is. The New York.
Doug Michonne.
Oh, that's right. For the business filing. Filing case, too. I don't know. If I'm a Democrat, this is just, it's just been good, right? We won the obstruction thing they overreached on obstruction. They overreached on immunity.
Rid of the administrative state.
In the meantime, their candidate has dementia, which everybody now knows. And the media tried to hide that. And it's bad. That was bad enough that they couldn't even the media.
Well, all the people that said he was sharp as a tack and everything else. And they look like utter fools, including they showed a picture of Morning Joe Scarborough. I mean, this is the best Joe Biden that's ever been. I mean,
well, this could be true.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That could be
a dementia. Joe Biden has been fully sent.
Well, and again, for people like, you know, the Alex Berensons of the world, the former liberals, they're like asking the legitimate question: who's running the country? Right? It's like clearly Joe Biden is not running the country, right? He can't even walk down the stairs after the debate without his wife showing him where to go. So it's been kind of fun. So we'll see what happens there. And we will have the next time the soundbite that Chuck wanted.
The full soundbite for all of your enjoyment.
But that'll wrap it up for us today. Also, we'll keep you posted on this outrageous effort by a handful of rhinos to get rid of Dave Williams. Hopefully that will be put to rest pretty quickly there.
It won't. It'll fester on.
But in the meantime, though, we will...
We'll fight for you.
We'll soldier on. Hey, thank you, everybody.
Take care.
We'll see you on Wednesday.